بسم الله الذي لا إله سواه، الواحد الأحد الفرد الصمد، الذي لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. والحمد لله حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه، حمدا يليق بجلال وجهه وبعظيم سلطانه وبجزيل نعمائه أبدا سرمدا، ما دامت السماوات والأرض ومن بعد أن تزولا. والصلاة والسلام على نبيه محمد الرسول المبين الصادق الأمين المبعوث رحمة للعالمين، وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين من أزواجه وذريته وأهل بيته أجمعين، وعلى صحبه الغر الصالحين الميامين والتابعين لهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. اللهم اكتبنا منهم، آمين. As I said earlier this morning, or was it yesterday, that today's session, inshallah ta'ala, will not be on Usul al-Fiqh. We'll do that tomorrow, bi-ithnillah. But instead, I felt from before, even I got here, that I would like to introduce this retreat in the first session as and speak about dhunub and the impact of dhunub in our lives. I believe that as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us in the Quran and through the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam, that truly happiness and misery are based on the level of our consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the level of our obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the level of our lack of consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the level of our disobedience and sinfulness against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Truly, as I remind myself and you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us for no other purpose except that we be His ibad. To fulfill ubudiyyah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the ultimate purpose for which I and you and every human being and every jinn were created, says Allah Azza wa Jal, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. We'll speak in a little bit more details about ubudiyyah and its relationship with Allah. Powerful concepts in human existence in a few days from now, inshaAllah ta'ala. This ubudiyyah, however, for which we were created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, practically in the outer world is determined by the extent of our obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That ubudiyyah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is truly the ubudiyyah of the heart, not only the senses. The state of the senses, the state of the limbs, generally is a consequence of the state of the qalb. If we are abd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we must be a abd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with our qulub. And if we're not a abd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we are a slave to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we are a slave to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with our qulub. It is the qulub, the hearts, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created to know Him. It is the qulub that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created to be the means by which to connect with Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the qulub that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created to be the seat of knowledge, and the seat of peace, and the seat of happiness, true happiness. He also, subhanahu wa ta'ala, created an entity that is called the nafs. And a nafs is not the qalb. And He created that nafs, I believe, to identify the human being. He created that nafs, and as a result of that nafs, we have a choice. We have a choice to do right, and we have a choice to do wrong. We have a choice to be good, and we have a choice to be evil. Had the nafs not been there, we would not have had a choice. We would be angelic creatures. For the qalb alone, as its very nature implies, is always good. The qalb is of heavenly nature. Latifatun Rabbaniya, this divine subtle creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is of the world of the ruh. The qalb, by its very nature, is attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knows Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we have a nafs as human beings, then we have also the propensity to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have also the inclination to be evil. In other words, the nafs, if you will, is the source of evil. And the qalb is the source of khayr, is the source of goodness. And therefore, because we have a nafs, we have to choose. We have a choice. We have two things now. We have khayr and we have shar. Here I like to remark that oftentimes human beings brag of having freedom of choice. The essence of freedom of choice is that we have a nafs. The essence of freedom of choice is we have an evil to choose from as well. Bragging about freedom of choice, in a sense, is like bragging that we have evil too. Had there been no nafs, there would be no evil. There would be no choice. I would be, you would be angels in ava, in the presence of the divine subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, it is the hikmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He created us as such human beings, endowed us with the qalb and nafs, and consequently with that which we call choice. But humbly, the seeker of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should not brag about that type of freedom, that type of choice. Now this nafs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created also, along with the qalb, is what comes between The qalb and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The qalb, imagine, in four dimensions, and the qalb is not a four-dimensional entity, but just to simplify the picture for us, imagine the qalb as a mirror turned towards its creator. And it only knows its creator. It receives knowledge directly from its creator. Al-qalbu is created such that it receives ilm, it receives knowledge within itself from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah created that nafs. And imagine this four-dimensional characterization as an approximation. And Allah created that nafs as a lens, if you will, in front of the mirror of the qalb. The state of that nafs determines whether or not the qalb is still clear and free to connect with the Creator. The nafs comes between the qalb and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is that lens with which we see, or through which we see the world. I and you see the world through the lens of our nufus. If the lens is properly set in its index of refraction, if you will, if the lens is not too dense and too thick and is not broken, and its index of refraction is perfectly one, then it and the mirror become one. And that is what we call an-nafsul mutma'inna. And that's what we call an-nafsul mutma'inna. But if the nafs's index is not one, then by the extent of departure from that oneness, there is the extent of stain, of evil, of the nafs, and of veil and of obstacle of the nafs in front of the heart. And that state of the nafs leads to dhunub. That state of the nafs leads to dhunub, sins, disobedience. The plural of dhanb. Aslu dhanbi wa aslu sharri an-nafs. The essence and the origin of sin is the self, is the nafs, this self that I have identified moment ago. Enough. Before I go on, this must teach me, and I must be cognizant of the fact that there is a difference between the qalb and the nafs. There is a difference between the qalb and the nafs. Oftentimes, in our normal daily affairs and daily logic and conventional logic, we do not make a distinction between the nafs and the qalb. For example, we say, I feel this way and I feel that way. My heart feels and my heart loves and my heart detests and my heart knows. When oftentimes it is not the qalb in this way as we have defined, but it is the nafs. It is my nafs that thinks and that knows in this way. It is my nafs that loves. It is my nafs that detests or hates. And oftentimes it is not my qalb. It is not this divine, subtle creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, connected with Allah that is loving. So I love by my nafs and not by my qalb. And the love by the qalb and the love by the nafs are different. The knowledge by the nafs and the knowledge by the qalb are different. The hate by the nafs and the hate by the qalb are different. The nafs is the source of the noob. The nafs is the source of evil. The nafs, and this is the nafs al-ammara, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us. إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِسُّوءٍ إِلَّا مَا رَحِمَ رَبِّي. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, verily, the nafs does persistently command that which is evil. The qalb does not. The qalb, however, when it is ill, and when it is veiled by the nafs, when the qalb has taken the identity of the nafs, that the qalb is sick or the qalb is dead, wal-iyadh billah. The dhunub, my dear brothers and sisters, therefore, are the consequence of the living nafs that commands evil. It is a state in which the nafs has veiled the eyes of the heart, has deafened the ears of the heart, and that is why we commit sins, wal-iyadh billah. The sins, or sins al-dhunub, have consequences, have an impact on our lives in this dunya before akhirah. In akhirah, we know, we must know, we must always remind ourselves of the consequences of dhunub in akhirah. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Rasul do tell us about that, in a way that leaves for the seeker of truth no doubt about the truth contained therein, and leaves in the heart of the seeker of truth, leaves in the heart of the seeker of truth, repulsion from the noob, fear from the noob, and a desire for constant awareness of the state of the noob, for the torment and the punishment, wal-iyadh billah, that awaits those who commit dhunub amongst human beings, the torment that awaits them, though in different degrees, depending on the nature of dhunub that are committed, is too much to bear. Jahannam, the fire of hell, wal-iyadh billah, No creature can ever bear. Subhanallah, it made me reflect a few days ago. When you touch sometimes inadvertently a hot stove with the tip of your skin, an area of perhaps, you know, half square centimeter. Half a square centimeter. For a second, burnt with this fire of this world. For a second. The pain, subhanAllah, is excruciating. And you look, what is there? Some ice. Imagine just this fire of this world engulfing the entire body. Nay, the fire of Jahannam, wal-iyadh billah, is many, 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 many fold in intensity the fire of this world. The fire of Jahannam is dark. Muswadda. He's dark. He's dark, 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 dark. The humiliation in Akhirah far surpasses the humiliation in this dunya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would make the asi, the disobedient, the sinner, make him or her, wal-iyadu billah, and exposes him or her in front of the khalq, in front of the creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and tell them, this is the person whom you thought was good. This is the person who committed this and committed that and committed this and committed that. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ And had disobeyed me willingly and unrepentantly. I do not intend to go through the details of the consequences of dhunub in Akhirah. We should sometime. But I'm intending more to cover with you, to remind myself and the new, my dear brothers and sisters, about the consequences of dhunub even in this life. And why I want to begin with this, as I have, we have done before, because oftentimes, somehow, and of course, in human life, there are cycles, and this is a cycle when some of us, or many human beings, or most human beings perhaps, or all, Allah Ta'ala A'lam, Akhirah becomes, the hereafter becomes for those of us like that, something distant, remote. We do not experience it daily, we're not conscious of it daily, we're not aware of it, we forget it. Because I live today and tomorrow, and it's been for 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years, 60 years, I'm still living. When do I die? And that is itself, of course, a state of ailment of the heart, a state of qasawa of the heart, to forget the hereafter because of the passage of time. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, أَلَمْ يَأْنِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَنْ تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَمَا نَزَلَ مِنَ الْحَقِّ وَلَا يَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلُ فَطَالَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَمَدْ فَقَسَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَكَثِيرٌ مِّنْهُمْ فَاسِقُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in this ayah basically that as time passes, all you who believe, don't be like those who were before you. Because time passes, and as time passes, their hearts harden. Their hearts harden. And sometimes that's what happens to us. As time passes, as we enter and we are absorbed by the rat race of every day, at home and at work and at school and in the streets and so on and so forth, Muslims and otherwise, we forget. That's a type of forgetfulness that generates stain, that generates dirt and clouds and veils. Imagine you eat and you forget your teeth for a while. You don't brush them, you don't floss them for a while. What happens? What happens? They build tartar. They build stain. Just because forgetting them. You didn't do anything to harm them. Just because forgetting to do what is right. There is a build-up of tartar. There's a build-up of stain that begins to damage the flesh and the teeth. Forgetting Akhirah, forgetting what awaits us when we truly live after death, leads the qalb to be hardened, my dear brothers and sisters. Yet, as I said, because of the passage of time, people forget. We forget. And we are so absorbed by now and the events of now and what happens to me now and what I do now that, unfortunately, that's the only thing I'm conscious of. And oftentimes, we do not speak of the consequences of dhunub now. Because maybe, if I know the consequences of dhunub now, it will, alhamdulillah, inshallah, enable me to keep away from them and will engage me more in my consciousness of the consequences of dhunub in the hereafter. Well, the first, and I believe, the first and worst consequence of dhunub is basically veiling the qalb. The worst consequence of dhunub is veiling the qalb. Because as we disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as one sins and commits more sins, what happens to the nafs? The nafs becomes stronger. The nafs is strengthened. The nafs is strengthened. And if the nafs is strengthened, what happens therefore to the qalb? The qalb is weakened. The hold of the nafs on the qalb will strengthen. It will strangulate the qalb. And it will cover the qalb. And if the qalb is veiled and covered and strangulated and weakened, then first and the worst of consequences is what? The individual is unable to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The individual is unable to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The individual is unable to be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the way he or she should be. Because the means by which we connect to Allah, we know Allah, we see Allah, is the qalb. And if the qalb is veiled, is clouded, is strangulated, is weakened, then I will not be able to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to see, in inverted commas, with my qalb Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be aware and conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if that happens, what is the next consequence? My knowledge of the truth will be perverted. My knowledge of falsehood will be perverted. Because isn't Allah the source of knowledge? He is. If the nafs clouds me and veils my qalb from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the source of knowledge, then my qalb does not know anymore what and how it should know. And therefore, consequently, I as a human being, intellectually, mentally, I will perceive truth perhaps as falsehood. And I will perceive falsehood as truth, or I will perceive truth as partially truth only, and falsehood as partially falsehood only. The consequence of dhunub is to strengthen the nafs, to thicken the lens of the nafs, which stands before the mirror of the qalb. And therefore the qalb is veiled from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if the qalb is veiled from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, first and foremost, I will not know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I will not know the truth as truth. I will not know falsehood as falsehood. And it is this that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks to us about in the Quran. And it is this that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speaks to us in his authentic sunnah, when Allah Azza wa Jalla says, كَلَّا بَلْ رَانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. كلا بل ران على قلوبهم ما كانوا يكسبون كلا إنهم عن ربهم يومئذ لمحجوبون. كلا إنهم عن ربهم يومئذ لمحجوبون. Says Allah Azza wa Jal that the ran, and this is this invisible, imperceptible, spiritual veil that covers the qalb, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as a consequence of dhunub. كلا بران على قلوبهم ما كانوا يكسبون, that which they have earned. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran uses oftentimes this expression of earning as a consequence of what we do. What we do, we earn. We work, we earn. We work evil, we earn evil. We work good, we earn good. So it is this ma'asiyah, what we have done, what we have worked, that led us to gain and earn what, wal'iyadu billah, in this perhaps painfully sarcastic way, we will gain what? Ran. And the ran is the veil upon the qalb, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught, commenting on this ayah, when he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَنَّ الْعَبْدَ كُلَّمَا أَذْنَبَ ذَنْبًا نُكِتَ عَلَى قَلْبِهِ نُكْتَةٌ سَوْدَاءَ نُكِتَ عَلَى قَلْبِهِ نُكْتَةٌ سَوْدَاءَ. That every time the individual commits a sin, there will be generated on his or her qalb a dark spot. Invisible, imperceptible, not physical. Because we're speaking also of the spiritual heart, my dear brothers and sisters. And that, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that if the individual, in the meaning of the text, if the individual repents, and perhaps we'll talk about later, if the individual repents through a genuine, sincere burst from within of pain and grief and fear and longing and remorse, then that nukta is removed by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if the abd does not repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the way it should be, then that spot grows like a cancer. And then when it grows, other things will happen, as we shall mention, until the Qur'an, the qalb is completely veiled. And he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is the ran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about in the Qur'an. And when that happens, كَلَّا إِنَّهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَنْ رَبِّهِمْ لَمَحْجُوبُونَ, then they will be disengaged, disconnected, veiled from their Lord. Not only in Akhirah, يَوْمَئِذٍ, even in this dunya. The hijab, the veil against the heart of the individual will form and will disconnect and disengage the qalb from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and is there a loss like this? And not to say worse of a loss, no. Is there a loss like this? To lose subhanAllah connectedness with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, one simple way to put it is what when the abd, when the individual or when the servant is in a state of sinfulness, and sins are many, many, of heart and of senses and so on, and of mind. When a person is in a state of sin, imagine this, you're drawn, and if you give yourselves time, if we give ourselves time to reflect and think, what does this mean? When we are absorbed by a thought or by an action, that absorption itself is a veil. Don't imagine a veil in any physical sense. The fact that your mind your heart is completely engaged in something else, focused, has forgotten Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a way. That's hijab. That's hijab. Imagine, and you would know when you compare an instant in your life, a minute perhaps, or an hour, or a day, in which you were consciously in dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, consciously and constantly in dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then you have moments, or hours, or some days, and some months, wal-iyadu billah, in which such a thing does not occur. Only then you know what hijab means. Only then you know what hijab means. Because if you don't know white, you don't know black. If you don't know black, you don't know white. If you don't know presence, you don't know absence. If you don't know absence, you don't know presence. It's just that. And then it leads to forgetfulness. It leads sometimes to many, many things of which we're going to mention few, inshallah ta'ala. This hijab is the worst thing that can happen to a human being, my dear brothers and sisters. As I said, ma'asiyah builds that hijab, and that hijab is a veil, and that veil is darkness inside of our qulub. And again, don't look for darkness of color. Darkness in the qalb is this state of complete unawareness of the spiritual world of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Complete absorption in the temporal, in the mundane, in the worldly. That's hijab, and that's zulma. And zulma translates sometimes itself in our inability to understand the spiritual matters. It's very hard. Because the qalb is darkened. There is a zulma. It can't see. The heart, when it sees, that's when we understand. The heart, when it doesn't see, that's when we don't understand. The basira versus the basar. The basira is the internal eye, and the basar is the external eye. When I don't understand truth spiritual, when I don't understand and I find difficulty grasping certain axiomatic truths, when I find it very difficult and very boring, for example, to reflect on the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on the spiritual world, on life after death. When I find it, that's dhulma, that's what it means. The qalbin in darkness. Don't search, because you will never find it inside of you, and you can't anyways, for a dark spot physically in your qalb. The inability to see with your qalb, i.e. the inability to understand and to comprehend the things the way they are, versus nur, zulma, darkness, versus nur, what ta'a, obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, generates instead nur in the qalb, and more than that, as we shall mention inshallah ta'ala. And that nur is that ease and that ability, subhanAllah, to understand the axiomatic truths of existence and of life, to understand the spiritual truth, to understand the essence of living and of dying, to understand the inner components and dimensions of the external truth. That is because of a nur. That is because the heart can see. It is not veiled. The eyes, if you will, of the heart can see because there is light. because there is light. In the famous story, which has become a parable between the Imam Shafi'i and the Imam Malik, rahmahullah ta'ala, when the Al-Ustad, the Shaykh, Al-Imam, rahmahullah ta'ala, Malik, had a bright student, like Imam Shafi'i, Muhammad ibn Idris al-Shafi'i. He was his student for a while, as of course you know. And one day Imam Malik illuminated within his own heart with a nur from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sees with that nur. With his heart he sees. It's not physical seeing. And he says to Al-Imam Shafi'i rahmahullah ta'ala, Ya Fata, young man, Inna Allah, Inni Ara, I see, Inni Ara, of course I see with my heart, Inni Ara, Anna Allah qad alqa fi qalbika nura. Fala tutfi'hu bi zulmatil ma'asiyah. يا فتى إني أرى أن الله قد ألقى في قلبك نورا فلا تطفئه بظلمة المعصية. Young man, he says, I see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala injected into your heart light, nur. Do not extinguish it with the darkness of sin. Do not extinguish it with the darkness of sin. For this is the consequence of them, my dear brothers and sisters. After knowing, we don't know. We forget. Not only forgetting, but not knowing, not understanding, not seeing the depth and the inner dimensions of knowledge is a consequence of dhunub. Wallahi innahu lahaq. Wallahi innahu lahaq. Wallahi innahu lahaq. That zulma that is generated in the qalb as a consequence of dhunub and the diminishing and the dimming of the light of ta'a inside of the qalb, because there is less ta'a and more ma'asiyah, and the more committing we commit ma'asiyah, the more that darkness expands, the more that nukta that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke about expands on the qalb, and the darkness until it becomes a ran. And sometimes, subhanallah, that darkness in the qalb, that is a spiritual darkness, somehow rises and shows on the very face of the individual. Wallahi al-azim innahu al-haq. Wallahi al-azim innahu al-haq. And in parallel to that, the ta'a, the abd is in ta'a of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is in obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and struggling and constantly so, until that nur inside the qalb rises and shines and shows on the face of the abd. And there are some ibad of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who can see that darkness on the face, and who can see that light and that illumination on the face of some ibad. Rest assured, my dear brothers and sisters, this is true. To the extent that some righteous ibad, so spiritually sensitive, I forgot who it was, who sometimes, when he commits a sin, and I have to comment on this a little bit, when we say he commits a sin, sins are at levels. Sometimes what we may call something normal, for some righteous person it is a sin. Even for some, perhaps, who may call something righteous, for a muqarrab person, a person very near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's a sin. levels. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I seek repentance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and I seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 100 times a day, from what? The dhunub of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are not the dhunub of this abd. The dhunub are levels, and we shall talk about that inshallah ta'ala perhaps later. My point is that when this righteous abd commits a sin, perhaps of this dimension or of this in this meaning and of this magnitude, he said he would go and look into the mirror, and whether he could see with his sensitive heart, he could see the consequence of that on his face. He was afraid. But my dear brothers and sisters, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, أَفَلَمْ يَسِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ فَتَكُونَ لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ يَعْقِلُونَ بِهَا وَآذَانٌ يَسْمَعُونَ بِهَا فَإِنَّهَا لَا تَعْمَى الْأَبْصَارُ وَلَكِنْ تَعْمَى الْقُلُوبُ الَّتِي فِي الصُّلُورِ, says Allah Azza wa Jal. أَفَلَمْ يَسِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ فَتَكُونَ لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ يَعْقِلُونَ بِهَا. Don't they walk on earth and reflect and study such that they should have hearts with which they comprehend and reason? The hearts with which they comprehend and reason, or ears with which they hear? Nay, it is not the eyesight that goes blind, it is the hearts inside the chests that go blind, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what blinds those are the different types of sins. From shirk, the worst of all sins, shirk, to the minor and minor acts of disobedience, my dear brothers and sisters. Forgive me, I do not have a watch with me. I don't have a notion of time. I don't mind, actually, but I need to sometimes have a break for you to be able to focus more. What time is it? 10:30? Almost 10:30. We started at 9:30, right? And of course, for the abd who desires Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is it. Ya Allah, zunub, disengage me from Allah, veil me from Allah. That is why I don't understand certain things sometimes. That is why I can't see truth as truth sometimes, and I can't see falsehood as falsehood sometimes. That's why I sometimes continue to enjoy myself, completely oblivious to the consequences of sins in my life, thinking I am fine. وَيَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ يُحْسِنُونَ صُنْعًا, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. It is essentially because of the nafs being strengthened and the qalb being veiled, and the rest is commentary, my dear brothers and sisters. I'm going to stop here inshallah ta'ala, and then we resume in about 7 minutes bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. Wa sallallahu wa sallim wa barik ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.